It's a major merger in the aerospace and defense industries as United Technologies and Raytheon announce plans to combine, creating a company valued at more than $100 billion.
What this deal would do is replicate what United Technologies has tried to do with commercial planes, basically to offer systems that go from the nose to the tail, as they would say. They're looking to do the same thing with defense products.
Plus, a House committee reaches a deal with the Justice Department over the Mueller report, and Italian automaker Fiat Chrysler heads back to the drawing board. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to United Technologies and Raytheon, here are some other top stories we're following today. Monday brought a breakthrough in the fight between the Justice Department and Congress over documents related to the Mueller report. The Wall Street Journal's Byron Tao has more details from Washington.
The Justice Department and House Democrats stepped back from the brink on Monday, reaching an agreement on documents related to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. In exchange for the documents, Democrats have agreed not to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt. The Justice Department will hand over some limited set of documents related to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation that House Democrats say are needed to conduct an inquiry about whether President Trump abused his power. The agreement ends weeks of brinksmanship between House Democrats and the Justice Department. The Justice Department had been fighting off Democratic requests for documents related to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Democrats had threatened to hold Attorney General Bill Barr in contempt if documents weren't turned over in response to their subpoenas. With the agreement on Monday, both sides are backing off of a fight that could have landed in court.
The House had been expected to vote this week on whether to hold Barr in contempt. Mike Manley, the CEO of Fiat Chrysler, has several challenges ahead after a deal to merge with Renault collapsed last week. The Wall Street Journal's Eric Silvers has more from Milan.
China, which, you know, for many car companies had been a source of hope, let's say, has turned south on the company. To quote people we spoke with, the company needs a reboot there. Europe, which, you know, in the best of times is a place where you make very slim profits if you're a car maker. The company is currently losing money over here in Europe, so that's going to be difficult. And, you know, perhaps one of the most important things is that in recent years, Fiat Chrysler under Marchionne was very focused on getting rid of its debt. And that has meant that the company has skimped on investments. When you skimp on investments, you know, lots of things can happen. And now they find, for example, that they're behind in the race for electric vehicles. They have a weak pipeline of new models coming up. That's another thing that Manley is definitely going to have to deal with. And maybe, I guess, the icing on the cake, so to speak, might be the fact that now he has one of his top executives in the U.S., Reid Biglin, who is the head of U.S. sales, has filed a whistleblower lawsuit against the company. So that's just one more monkey wrench that Manley's going to have to deal with.
Manley took over as CEO of Fiat after the death of Sergio Marchionne. The proposal to merge with Renault would have created the world's third largest car company by volume. Fiat blamed the French government for the collapse of the deal, saying it had created barriers to the merger. And we have a developing story this afternoon. Authorities say one person was killed on Monday when a helicopter crash landed on a building in Midtown Manhattan. Police officials described the incident as a hard landing. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said there was no initial indication that the event was related to terrorism. The Federal Aviation Administration says it is gathering information about the incident. For more on this developing story, please check back on our website, WSJ.com, or on the WSJ app. United Technologies and Raytheon have announced plans to merge, creating what's expected to be the world's second largest aerospace and defense company by sales after Boeing. The Wall Street Journal's Doug Cameron has more details on the proposed tie-up.
The planned merger of United Technologies and Raytheon is the one that no one saw coming. The combined company, after United Technologies spins off its air conditioning and elevator business, Otis, would have revenues of something like $74 billion this year. That would make it level pegging with Airbus and the second or perhaps third largest aerospace and defense company in the world, after Boeing, which has sales of about $100 billion. Now, the enlarged company would be split 50-50 roughly between commercial products for aircraft and military products. Raytheon is well known as the maker of Tomahawk cruise missiles, as well as the Patriot missile defense system. United Technologies is best known for its Pratt & Whitney engines, which are on Airbus and Boeing planes. And it also makes aircraft interiors and basically all parts of the plane. And what this deal would do is replicate what United Technologies has tried to do with commercial planes, basically to offer systems that go from the nose to the tail, as they would say. They're looking to do the same thing with defense products. And the company together would have just more heft, more size to invest in these very long-term projects, which can go on 10, 20, 30 years and require billions of dollars just to get you to the table. So the idea is that the enlarged company would just have the scale to compete better with Boeing and Lockheed Martin in these upcoming competitions. It's also viewed as a bit of an insurance policy. While Pentagon spending has been rising the past 2 years, having fallen in the 5 years before that, the outlook now, because of federal budget pressures, is actually for slowing growth. So the pie is not going to grow as much, and companies are starting to hunker down to look for where growth might come from. And growth can obviously come through M&A. Similarly, while there's been a boom in sales of Boeing and Airbus jetliners, which has led them to raise production, there are concerns that that's starting to slow as well, that perhaps there's been a bit of a bubble. So by joining together, the two companies, we'd have a bit of an insurance policy if there is a slowdown in commercial or perhaps commercial and defense orders.
Cameron says Boeing could raise concerns about the deal.
Whenever you have a deal of this scale, there are inevitable knock-on effects on competitors. When United Technologies was looking, or rather rejecting, a planned approach from Honeywell 2 or 3 years ago, Boeing was very vocal that it didn't want this deal to go ahead. Two of its biggest suppliers combining would give it less clout, as Boeing itself was trying to cut costs. And Dennis Muilenburg, the Boeing chief executive, was pretty vocal in saying, to use his words, that he didn't see any benefit for customers. Now, last year, when United Technologies announced it was trying to buy Rockwell Collins, which Boeing had been trying to buy as well, Mr. Muilenburg was out there again on the stump trying to block it. But ultimately, that deal was approved by regulators and it went ahead. So you can expect some pushback from Boeing that, again, two of its big suppliers combining will give it less clout. Boeing and Raytheon don't compete that much on the defense side, but an enlarged Raytheon Technologies, as the new company would be called, would allow it to take part in these competitions where Boeing perhaps doesn't see as many rivals right now. So expect pushback from Boeing.
And the tie-up between United Technologies and Raytheon could also heat up mergers and acquisitions in related industries.
With United Technologies planning to spin off the Carrier HVAC business and Otis, there's been talk that these two standalone companies might trigger some M&A action in the elevator business and in the heating and air conditioning business. You can also expect within aerospace that everyone's going to be looking at their size and saying, well, you know, do we need to scale up more? An obvious example would be General Electric, which makes aircraft engines that compete with United Technologies, as well as avionics systems. It's now kind of looking small versus this entity, and GE's management, which is already reshaping the company's portfolio, might have to look again. Similarly, Honeywell, having been rejected by United Technologies, might look at itself and say, well, what else can we do? And perhaps we could see a recreation of the effort to combine GE and Honeywell, which was rejected by regulators well over a decade ago. So as ever with these big deals, there are going to be knock-on effects. The one caveat which many people have, and it was expressed on the investor call this morning, is that United Technologies isn't offering a premium. Its shareholders would have a majority of the shares in the enlarged company, as well as a majority on the board. Raytheon, which you know had a nice portfolio and was growing very well and has a very big export business, its shareholders might say, well, hang on, why do we need this deal? Were we not in pretty good shape ourselves? So certainly management from both companies are going to have maybe a tough sell just to convince investors that it all adds up as rosily as they make out.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Cameron joining us from Chicago with more details on the tie-up proposal between United Technologies and Raytheon. Now, on to some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. Insys Therapeutics has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy after agreeing last week to pay $225 million to settle federal charges over its opioid sales. More than 90% of the company's revenue came from opioid sales, according to court papers. It's the first corporate bankruptcy linked to the opioid crisis. Insys and other drug companies have been named in roughly 1,000 lawsuits from states, counties, and others seeking damages in connection with the opioid crisis. Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court's landmark ruling on abortion, is in the national spotlight, as several conservative states have taken steps in recent months to challenge the ruling. The Wall Street Journal's Jess Braven explains the new momentum on both sides of the issue in a video on our website.
Right now, many anti-abortion activists see an opportunity they have yearned for decades. 5 solid conservative votes on the Supreme Court, 5 members of the Supreme Court, and therefore that critical number, 5, which is a majority out of 9, might be there to significantly roll back or even abolish the constitutional right to abortion. We've seen some of the more liberal-leaning states, such as New York, take efforts to further enshrine women's rights and pregnancy should the Roe decision be scaled back or overruled. But most of the activity has been on the right side of the aisle, where conservative states, frustrated at the Supreme Court invalidating some of their stricter regulations of abortion, have been in a rush to pass legislation, so-called heartbeat bills that determine abortion can't take place after a cardiac signal is detected in the fetus.
To view a video on key Supreme Court decisions on abortion, head to wsj.com/video. That's what's news for this Monday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.